Good morning, everybody. I want to talk about some work that the Metropolitan Area Planning Council has been doing over the last two or three years, working with some partners here in Massachusetts. MAPC is the regional planning agency for 101 cities and towns in Metro Boston, and we work on a variety of different topic areas, in particular land use, housing, transportation planning, and economic development. And the approach that we take to Safe Routes to Schools programming and the work that we've been doing is sort of an attempt to contextualize the Safe Routes to School activities that are underway with the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, Department of Public Health, and then other sort of private nonprofit actors, as well as local school districts and individual schools, within a broader context of mode shift and sort of congestion relief. So what we're trying to do is relate Safe Routes to School programming and some of the active movement work within this larger context, and to take apply regional analysis in a way that can help all those partners and all those stakeholders sort of bring Safe Routes to Schools activities to scale, in particular by identifying the best opportunities for mode shift, by providing resources to help, by providing information to help target resources, and then also to track progress in a sort of in a very specific way. So a couple things. I was told I needed to put this disclosure in that I didn't have any financial relationship. Here's some co-authors, some our folks, friends from Walk Boston, who helped us to initiate this research a few years ago. My colleague Mariana Arcaya and our colleagues at the Department of Public Health. I won't read the CDC disclaimer, but I do want to acknowledge the support from the Barr Foundation, which is a local foundation which funded the beginning of this, and also MassDOT and our Massachusetts Safe Routes to School program, which has helped to support some of the improvements that I'll talk about. And I think this slide here is kind of exemplifies what we're trying to do. You have the Barr Foundation, whose primary funding objective is reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. So their interest is, can Safe Routes to School programs reduce local greenhouse gas emissions? MassDOT and Safe Routes to School, obviously concerned with sort of transportation, and then the CDC with active, with sort of a physical activity. So the objectives here today are to describe this, these new spatially discrete techniques for assessing school walkability, talking about the survey we administered to 9,000 students and which is also ongoing. We have introduced this online survey tool and then summarize some of the potential applications. So, when we began this work, one of the things we wanted to understand was, what's the walk-to-school target market? If we come to this from a perspective of mode shift and mode choice, which is sort of this, you know, kids are commuters too, right? They and their parents have to make choices about the modes they use to get to school. Who is the target market? Is it all kids who are currently being driven to school? But it's not. It has to be kids who are living close enough to school and where safe walking routes are available, so we can't just sort of see what's the crow fly distance, where are there actually safe and feasible walking routes. And if we're thinking about mode shift, who are the kids who are currently being driven to school? So it's what's left here is this small slice of the pie. That's our target market for mode shift. You know, going back to Dr. Bowser's presentation, if kids are already walking, that's great, we want to support that, but that's not where interventions are actually going to create more physical activity or to reduce the number of car trips to school. So where do we find these proximate auto commuters, and how do we do it at scale, like for the entire state of Massachusetts? How many kids are there, how many miles are they traveling, and how much greenhouse gas emissions are associated with that? And lastly, I want to point out that there's this other kind of mode shift, which is just as important for greenhouse gas emissions, which are kids who are more than a safe walking distance from school who are currently being driven. Are there opportunities to shift them to bus or other kind of carpool or lower GHG, lower congestion impact type of modes? So the first thing we did when we began this work is to use data on school networks, on roadway networks, sidewalks, and other walking routes to define what we call school walk sheds, where let's see, you can see this is a school in the town of Concord here, and this is the walking network, that's the 1 mile walking network, and then in the lighter yellow, the 1.5 mile walking network, and then you can see we buffer this to include all of the residential areas that are within, you know, abutting each one of those roadways, and that's what we call our 1 mile walk shed. We define that for both half mile, 1 mile, mile and a half, and 2 miles, and the 2 miles includes biking networks as well. And the point of this is to come up with a more spatially discrete understanding of walkable areas that's over and above, let's draw a mile buffer around the school. And the reason for that is because you find a lot of schools like this. So here's Medway High School, here's a residential neighborhood that's across, this is a main street that runs directly north-south here. These areas are all walkable, but in order to get to these neighborhoods here, which are right behind the school, you actually have to go all the way around and come up the street network here. And there's a gap in the side, there's no sidewalk on this street here. So these areas, while they're actually very close to school, are not walkable. And so what we're trying to do is distinguish that. We can combine that with information block level or even smaller than that, information about population and population density and the density of school-age children to generate one of our first statistics, which is what we call the walkshed population. It's the number of school-age children living within the one-mile walkshed for a given school as a share of total school enrollment. And so what you see here is that in the urban areas, there's a lot of schools where there's more kids. This is after prorating for the number of grades that are available in the school. There's more kids living within a mile than there are attending the school. So there's sort of a rich population from which to draw from for safer to school activities. And then in a lot of suburban areas, there may be fewer than 20%, and in some cases, fewer than 10%. Sorry, I'm just trying to get my timer up here. Fewer than 10% of the school-age population could even possibly be living within 1 mile. So this gives us sort of a regional picture of where are there schools with enough kids living nearby to justify kind of transportation investments. So the second thing we did is we created, using the overlap, where walksheds overlap, we created what's called a walkability index. And so this is an index which describes how many grades are potentially available for a student given living in a given location. And this is all across the state of Massachusetts. And so this is sort of a close-up here. And these are index numbers, so they don't really mean 8 grades available, but basically the areas in blue means that there's an abundance of schools nearby that a student might be assigned to. Green means there's sort of middle, and then the light yellow areas means that there's some possibility that at some point during the student's school career they could be assigned to a walkable school, but it's likely that at other times they're going to need to travel further. So this particular index is maybe useful not so is it in describing how many schools are available. I think is most useful for looking at housing siting location, like where housing could be located. If we're thinking about reducing auto dependency, then locating, this is one of the factors we can look at in, when we're trying to identify priority areas for locating housing, especially family housing, in places where kids are going to have a better potential for walking to school. And so we're using this, in a lot of our housing planning activities. The other thing we did was we calculated what's called a walkshed intensity, which is basically the walkshed index that's then combined with the school-age population that's also living in the grid cell, the 250-meter grid cell at which we calculate this. And so in this case, it's not only the number of schools the number of grades that are available, but also how many kids that are living there. So in this case, the blue areas on the map are those where if you went down and put yourself on a street corner at 8:15 on a school morning, you'd be most likely to see kids walking to school. And then those areas that are in the light yellow are places where you might see a few kids walking to school, but not likely. And then those areas in gray actually show where there's school-age population that are beyond 1 mile walking distance of any school. Let me just back up here. So this gives us what we've done here is put together some analytical tools which allow us to look across the state, across a lot of different land use and transportation infrastructure contexts to compare different environments and understand what the potential is for walking to school. However, one of the complicating factors, which is very true in Massachusetts and in many other locations, is that kids don't always get assigned to the nearest school. There may be magnets, there may be charter schools, there may be school choice programs. Certainly in Boston, it looks great, it's all blue, but until next year, Boston only has 3 major school zones. So kids can be traveling 10 or 11 or 12 miles to go to school, meanwhile passing other kids who are going the other direction. So what we wanted to do was create a survey instrument that would help us understand for any given school how much of the enrollment in that school is living within the 1 mile walk shed or within any given walk shed, and then what's the mode share for kids who are living that close. We looked at a lot of different survey instruments from Safe Routes Partnership and a variety of different other sources. I want to make sure I stay on time. In the end, we developed a new 6-question school commute survey because we really wanted to focus on this particular issue of location and mode choice. We added two other questions, we had 2 questions also about trip chaining, as in when the parent drops the kid off, do they continue on to work or another destination, or do they go right home? And then we asked 2 questions about vehicle availability. We piloted the survey in 2 schools in the city of Brockton first, and then incorporated the feedback we got from parents and administrators to make the survey instrument a little more effective, and then administered it to 9,000 students in partnership with Walk Boston and the local districts, and got a 51% response rate. So the key results here, we have a whole report on this on our website, but this is the type of results that you can come up with. This is for all 9,000 students that were surveyed, we could do it for any given school. But basically, what we've done is we break out the responses by the walk shed distance. And so for those kids who are living within a half mile walkable distance of school, 47% are walking and 49% are being driven. This is the opportunity for mode shift. I think I actually have an animation here, right? Here's the opportunity for mode shift, which is moving some of this 49% up to 47 and moving some of this 64% up to 16, getting these kids who are living close enough up into the walk mode. And just evaluating these, the kids who are living within a walkable distance is really a critical metric for understanding the effectiveness of programs. And I'll also point out there's this other mode shift potential, which is that half of the kids who are living beyond a mile and a half are being driven, and only less than half, 48-49%, are on bus and being driven. And increasing that bus share is going to reduce congestion around schools, reduce traffic. But there are barriers to that with the, bus fees and a variety of other things that discourage it. We can also map the results. Here's a map from a typical school where you have here's the school location, you see the walk sheds mapped, and then each dot represents a different survey response, with blue being walk or bike, red being driven, and yellow being school bus out here in the 2.5, beyond a mile and a half. And so you can see where there are clusters of kids who are being driven, and in this case, all these that are being driven, this is a very busy east-west arterial right here, which may be a barrier to parents allowing their kids to walk to school. And so you can actually use the map to target, okay, are there infrastructure investments? Does the map help illuminate or verify the barriers that may be discouraging kids from walking to school? We also identified sort of 3 different types of schools, and I'm sort of running out of time, so I won't go into these in great detail. But one is there's a high proximity and a high walk share. Lots of kids are living close to school and lots are already walking. That's where we want to support the programs and the activities that are already underway. There are other areas where there's what we call untapped walk-to-school potential. There's a fair number of kids living nearby, but many of them are being driven. So that's where there's this potential for mode shift in that walkable distance. And then we also identify out a lot of schools that have really dispersed enrollment. And quite frankly, there's a limited walk-to-school potential there. Maybe there's other things that can be done to encourage kids to ride the bus, other physical activity programs that are going to help. But in this case, walk to school is not going to generate, not going to really penetrate the market there because there's not much market for it. And you can see what the profile looks like on these various charts, but from the high proximity, high walk share schools to the high proximity with untapped potential, and then those with dispersed enrollment where it actually tips up where a majority of kids are living beyond the walking distance. A couple of words about our online survey tool. It's online at myschoolcommute.org or at masaferoutesurvey.org. This has now been adopted. The survey instrument and this site have been adopted by MassDOT as their principal evaluation tool and survey tool for the hundreds of districts who are Safe Routes to School partners in Massachusetts. There's an online survey form. This is actually the extent of the survey here. It's one page, it's six questions. Parents can drop a dot or pin on the map, or they can enter a nearby intersection if they choose to. And then the questions about the grade, mode, and trip chaining right there. So this is, like I said, the full extent of the survey, so it's very easy. There's a data entry interface for schools that administer paper. There's a paper survey of the form, so schools that want to do paper surveys, there's a really entry data entry interface for them. And then school administrators and district administrators can log on and generate these three or four page automated reports, which have statistics about how many kids responded to the survey and from what grades, what are the travel choices, and then what are the travel choices by mode, what are the greenhouse gas emissions and mileage results from it, and then of course they get the map. This was all built using open source coding technology. So this is all the code is posted on our GitHub page for any of you who are familiar with that, and is any school district or state in the country who wanted to adopt it and modify it or use it for their own purposes are free to take the code and continue to run with it, and we continue to make improvements to the reports and a variety of other aspects. And overall, I think we just in conclusion, I think what we're trying to do is create an analytical framework and a set of tools that will help Safe Routes to School partners find the best mode shift opportunities, target their funding, put it in places where we think it's going to have the best impact, and then set goals and measure progress using the right denominator, basically, which is who could be walking to school. Let's not aim for 50% walk share when, you know, only 20% of the kids live within a walkable distance. So thanks very much. Here's my contact information, and I look forward to any questions if you have them. Yes, we can. Yeah, we're actually, MassDOT just funded us to do another round of improvements on the report, and so that was one of the things we talked about with them. Because that's, if you've seen in the main report that we did, you can actually find, those where the parents are just driving their kids to school and then driving back, that's the real gravy in there. So I think we can add that to the report. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we did not. In order to really focus on the sort of locational aspect and the mode choice aspect, we kept the survey very, very short. There's a lot of other attitudinal or environmental questions which are really critical to program design, and it was our feeling that some of the existing survey tools out there actually do a good job of asking those questions, that we didn't feel like we needed to replicate it. We wanted to focus on something that was really lightweight, that could be done at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, the fall, the following year, you know, that's like a really good lightweight evaluation tool rather than something that's going to a little heavier that's needed for program design.
Thank you again.
Thank you.